God willing, this will be our last Easter in the gym. Amen? But today, we need you to get really close with your neighbor. That's what we need. Well, I want you to imagine just for a second going back in time to first century Jerusalem. And wouldn't it be awesome to be able to do that? I think it'd be incredible to go back and to observe the events in this past week of Jesus' life. For example, I think it would be exhilarating to have been in the crowd outside the city on Palm Sunday when they all gathered and they were waving palm branches in the air, shouting and praising Jesus as president and king. It would have just been exhilarating. Now, we would have wished he had come in on a powerful stallion instead of a pitiful little donkey, but still, this was his moment. If he really was the Messiah, if he really was the promised military hero and deliverer of Israel, it was about to go down. He was gather his troops together and declare war on Rome during the Passover while the whole city was just teeming with people. I mean, it had to be electric to be in the city. But then after Palm Sunday, things sort of died down for a little bit. There's a break in the action until Thursday, not much happens at all. And even then, it's just a rumor that Jesus is having a private dinner party with his closest disciples. But surely this was a sign. Surely this meant something big was finally about to happen. And then Thursday night rolled around. And with the exception of his 12 closest disciples, all the rest of Jesus' followers went to bed that night thinking that everything was fine, that the plan was still in motion, only to wake up Friday morning to some very different news. During the night, Jesus had been arrested. He'd not only been arrested, he'd been convicted and sentenced to die. And when his battered, bloody body was nailed to the cross, those followers couldn't believe it. How could this be happening? Jesus was supposed to be king. And they had watched him calm the storm. They had seen him heal people who were sick. They had watched him feed 5,000. And they placed all of their hope in him. Surely God would not allow his Messiah to die. But as they watched his lifeless body taken down from the cross and placed into a tomb, all of their hopes died with Jesus. By Holy Saturday, there were no Christians left. Good Friday had done them all in. I mean, Jesus was good people, and how could a good God allow such a horrible thing to happen to good people? You want to talk about things that can kill your faith? What happened on Good Friday could do that. Good Friday was the day that everybody quit believing and instead started grieving. If Jesus had had a Twitter account, everybody would have unfollowed him on Good Friday. Nobody would have been left. All of his followers lost faith. His disciples became doubters, and former believers came to that first Easter as skeptics. Which means, if you're here this morning and you have come to Easter as a skeptic, you're in good company. Maybe you're here this morning because your family made you come, or maybe you're here because somebody promised to feed you right after this service and they bribed you with food. That's why you're here. But maybe if for you, when it comes to Easter, you're just not sure. I mean, the whole idea of a person being raised from the dead, I mean, it's a lot. And if that's you, don't worry. The very people who were closest to Jesus were in that same boat. The very people who were closest to Jesus thought it was a lot too. Just listen for yourself. This comes from Luke chapter 24. And I'll begin reading with verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again?'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the disciples. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, Jesus turns doubters into disciples. Can you do that for me? Jesus turns doubters into disciples. That's what happened on Easter. So the women go to the tomb early on that Sunday morning, and they're going to anoint Jesus' dead body with perfumes and spices. And when they get there, they're blown away because they find what they don't expect to find. And that is that the stone has already been rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. And then they don't find what they do expect to find, which is Jesus' body. And if you paid attention during the scripture lesson, you know that even though they witness this, the women don't automatically jump to the conclusion of resurrection. And none of us would either. Because their experience with death is just like ours. People who die generally stay dead, right? I mean, I have never gone to a cemetery thinking, "Well, let's just go and see if Grandpa's still here." I've never done that. And I bet you've never done that either, because when people check into a cemetery, they don't check out. Of course, Grandpa's still here. And so that's why the women are so confused. The only logical explanation for the empty tomb was that somebody had stolen Jesus' body. Yeah, that had to be it. But if that's true, then why would the grave robbers take the time to unwrap Jesus' body and then leave the linens lying in the tomb? The whole thing is just so baffling. And the women are still confused when we get to verse 4, where Luke tells us, while they were still wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And the men said, "Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead?" I just imagine that the women are like, "We're not looking for the living. We're looking for Jesus. And we saw him dead and buried in this tomb on Friday. That's who we're looking for." But the men are like, No. "Don't you remember? He told you this was going to happen. He told you he was going to die. And on the third day, he was going to be raised again. He's not here. Jesus is alive." And with that news, the women rush back to tell the 11. You know, those 11 closest disciples who, by the way, were so fearful that they wouldn't go to the tomb because they didn't want to be arrested and killed just like Jesus. So they were huddled up, afraid. And the women go back to tell those clowns what had happened. And what's their response? Verse 11. They did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now, just a reminder, this is Peter, James, John, Matthew, Thomas, these are Jesus' closest friends, disciples, students. They had seen him do some amazing things. They had watched him perform incredible miracles. And they had also heard him on numerous occasions predict not only his death, but also the very thing that the women are reporting to them at that moment. Repeatedly, Jesus told them, "All right, now, I want you to be ready. I'm going to die, but on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead." And still, confronted with that news, confronted with the eyewitness accounts of the women, and confronted by the empty tomb, they were still skeptics. They thought the whole story was nonsense. Now, the Greek word that gets translated nonsense there is the Greek word leros. Can you say that with me? Leros. All you Greek scholars. The word leros is sometimes translated in English idle talk. So the disciples thought it was just idle talk. But the word is really more emphatic than that. It's nonsense. It's garbage. You could even translate it bull. Okay? So the disciples thought that this was bull. A word that was usually reserved to describe the ranting of a person suffering from delirium. So the disciples hear this incredible news and immediately they think it's leros. I just think it's so interesting that Luke tells us that detail. Actually, all the Gospels spend time documenting the disbelief of the disciples. And I'm just thinking, if I'm one of the disciples, if I'm recording the events that are taking place and I'm one of the characters in the story, I don't know that I'm going to tell everybody about my doubts in that moment. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it, but I don't think I'm going to put it on blast out there for everybody either. And yet that's what the disciples did. The very people who should have been the first to believe in the resurrection thought the story was nonsense. It's garbage. Even after Peter runs to the tomb and looks in for himself, he still doesn't believe. I mean, he's just standing there, peering into that empty tomb, shaking his head, and he's wondering to himself, according to Luke, he's wondering to himself what had happened. The evidence is in front of his face, and he still doesn't believe. I want you to just think about that for just a second. If the story had ended in that moment, if the story had ended with Peter peering into the tomb, shaking his head, wondering what had happened, none of us would be here this morning. We wouldn't have a seating problem in this space. We would never have known what took place in that tomb. We might not even know Jesus' name today in 2019. I mean, yes, by this point in the story, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And yes, Jesus has defeated death. But if the story ends here, there would be nobody to share this incredible news about what had happened because the disciples aren't really disciples in this moment. They're doubters. They're disbelievers. They're skeptics. See, Jesus didn't just have to overcome death. He also had to overcome their disbelief. It was another hurdle, another obstacle that Jesus had to overcome. Recently, I was intrigued by a book review. I don't think I'd ever read a review on a devotion book before, so it caught my attention. I ordered the book. It's called 40 Days of Doubt, Devotions for the Skeptic. And it's written by a United Methodist pastor named Eric Huffman. On day 10 of his devotional, Huffman talks about the resurrection. And he admits that for the first 10 years of his ministry, he believed that the resurrection was just an allegory. That what mattered wasn't that Jesus actually rose from the dead, but it was that his followers, the church, rose up after Jesus' death in the wake of all that. But on a trip to the Holy Land, he said that his eyes were open. It was like the light bulb of faith came on for him when he wrestled with the evidence that after the resurrection, Jesus turn doubters into disciples. Because just about everybody who knew Jesus personally became convinced that he was God in the flesh and that he rose from the dead. That's true for the women who go to the tomb that first Easter. It's true for Peter, who eventually gets crucified upside down because he won't recant his faith in Jesus and his resurrection. It's true for Peter, it's true for Matthew, it's true for John and Thomas, it's true for James, the brother of Jesus. In fact, James is an interesting case. Here's what Eric Huffman says about James. Jesus' little brother James was not one of his disciples. In fact, before Jesus died, James tried to stop Jesus from teaching because he thought his big brother was insane. I'll let you look that up in Mark 3:21 later on this afternoon. But after the resurrection, James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem until he was arrested and publicly executed for believing in Jesus. Now, just how many of you have brothers? Anybody have a brother out there? Let me ask you a question. What would it take to convince you that your brother is your God? What would that take? What would it take for you to become so completely convinced that you would die a painful, humiliating death for your faith in your brother who you believed after the resurrection was your Lord? It would take nothing short of seeing his resurrection body with your own eyes, right? That's what's happened at Easter. This is so important because we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus because the Bible tells us so. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus because Mary and Joanna and Mary, the mother of Jesus and James, went to the tomb and they said they found it empty. And there were two men who announced some incredible news to them. We believe in the resurrection because James, the half-brother of Jesus, became his disciple. We believe because Peter and Matthew and John and Thomas were all consumed on Good Friday with distress and despair and doubt. But then Jesus turned them back into disciples because they watched him die and then saw him come back. And they got to walk with him and talk with him. They got to eat with him. Thomas got to touch his side and handle the scars on his hands, and they all became witnesses to Easter, even though it cost every single one of them their lives. They all died for their faith. You don't do that for idle talk. You don't die for nonsense. I mean, you might tell some outlandish stories, but when you get arrested for it, and when they're going to burn you at the stake, or behead you, or crucify you upside down, at that moment, you come to your senses and you say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I was just kidding. It's all just Leros. We made it all up. It's garbage. Please don't kill me." But if it's true, if it's true, you can't stop telling people about it. If it's true, you have to tell everybody that God made a way where there was no way. You have to tell everybody that God raised Jesus and conquered death. If it's true, then we have good news even when terrible things like Good Friday happen. If Easter is true, my friends, it doesn't matter how horrible life might get. We still have hope when terrible things happen to us or the people we love because we know God will not let that be the end of the story. You know, I often hear people say they don't believe in God because of all the bad things that happen in the world. After all, how can people believe in a good God when so many bad things happen to good people? Well, if that's your question, the disciples can help answer it. Because they have to look no further than the cross to know that God doesn't stop all bad things from happening to good people. Jesus was the best person they'd ever known. And look what happened to him. But after Easter, they become believers. Their faith wasn't tied to a God who prevents all bad things from happening. Their faith was in a God who raised Jesus from the dead. And they saw it, and they believed it, and their faith was tied up in it. Their faith was in a God whose love for you and for me and for all creation was so fierce that He would raise the dead to save us. And that should be enough to turn all of us doubters into disciples. Christ is risen. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you would pursue us, even if it meant going to the cross. We are so grateful that death did not have the last word. Lord, we confess that resurrection is a lot to take in. It's a lot to believe. But if you really are raised from the dead, everything has to change. Start with us, Lord. Amen.